Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I know we are a little early today, but I have a grandson that I have to take to school. So we are here a half an hour early to move forward in God's word, and it is a great word this morning. Whew, it is a great word this morning. God is good, real good. And all I can say is, thank you. Oh, thank you, God. Ah, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. You know, God reminds us of his word. He reminds us of his commandments. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is believe and trust in the Lord. Put our trust where it belongs, in God. I can't say enough. When we go to Exodus, y'all know how I am about Exodus chapter 20. Those commandments. And today in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God reminds us of his word. Thus says the Lord God in his word, thou shalt. He tells you who he is. I am the Lord. And when we know who he is, we can do better. You got to trust God in all things. Acknowledge God in all things. And know that we are his sons and daughters in all things. God loves me. God loves you. God wants the best for us. All we have to do is want the best for ourselves. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a humble heart, open and ready to receive your word. In it, God. Fill me up, God, with your Holy Spirit, that as I walk through this day, those that see me, see you in me. Father God, I thank you again for this mighty word, a reminder of how we should live, how we should care for each other, how we should care for you. How we should listen to you and obey your word, God. Continue working with us, God. But we are all in transition. Transition to be better today than we were yesterday. So, Father God, as I lift up this mighty word today, I ask you to please, God, increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you, Lord God, are my strength. Do this in my own strength. I need you. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I give myself away, Lord God, for you to use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, giving much honor to the Most High, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Praising the Lord this morning. Praise Him with me. As we go into the word of the Lord, tells us in His word who He is first and foremost. He wants you to know that He is the Lord. And He has something to say. And as we go into Deuteronomy 5, it tells us. And Moses called all the children, all Israel, and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I in your hearing today. Because remember, this is a whole new generation. The ones that were with him in Exodus chapter 20 when God first gave these laws are dead. They're gone. Except for Caleb, Moses, and Joshua. And maybe a few that were children at the time, under 20. And so he's speaking to them again. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. Those who are here today, all of us who are alive, talk with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. But you were afraid because of the fire. And you did not go up to the mountain, he said. And these are words that we must keep in our heart. As he said, write them on your heart. These are words that need to be written on our heart. When we see things, we got to call them out. I am who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. We can't have the God of our cars, the God of the clothes that we wear, the house that we live in, the purses that we carry, our shoes that we wear. We can't have anything as an idol. Nothing. There is only one God, and you shall have no other gods before me. You can't have a politician as your God. Were you willing to go to jail, willing to die for that politician? That is not of God, and it is definitely not Christian. We got to watch what we're doing, because the one thing you don't want to be is an idolater. You don't want to have something else before God. People, places, or things before God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Come on now. You can't be serving statutes, bowing down to golden images of certain people. You cannot do it. It is idolatry. You can't make your zodiac sign your absolute. There's only one God. And he's telling us, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, there are some curse words out there that are taking the Lord's name in vain. And we have to watch ourselves. Don't slip up, you know, making up words that just happen to have the name Jesus or God in them, but are a slanderous word. We've got to be careful what we say and how we say it. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It tells us in the Word of God what day is the Sabbath. It does not say the first day of the week is the Sabbath. It doesn't say that. It tells us, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And we all, you know, we faithful church members go to church on Sunday. That is really not the Sabbath. It is the first day of the week, the day that we have chosen to worship God, because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And that is stated in the Word of God. We read it on yesterday. It was a yesterday word. Actually, I believe we might have read it. I think we read it on today's Monday. It was in Monday's word. Monday's New Testament word. And it tells us that it was the first day of the week. And that's where we got our Sabbath from. And it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 2, actually, where we'll go, it says, now when the Sabbath was passed, which was Saturday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they may come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the what? First day of the week, when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us. First day of the week. And that's where we got our Sunday from. The first day of the week. And that's why we go to church. And there may be some that disagree with me. But when we go back to the commandments of God, what does God's word say? To remember his day. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your servants, male servants, nor your female servants, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger, nor who is within your gates, that your male servants and your female servants may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. That's the word of God, not my word, but God's word. That's what he told us. And that's what we should be doing. And I know that I would get in trouble by some pastors because I said that we should be having church on Saturday. We should be having church on Saturday. We should be keeping God's day holy. But I understand tradition has it on Sunday, and we follow tradition when we need to be following the word of God. I'm just saying. You know, and I know that I'm probably getting myself in trouble, but the truth is the truth. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is given you. You know, folks hate mamas and daddies. Well, you look just like your low-down, dirty daddy. Well, you know, your mama ain't nothing but a S this, do that, blah, blah, blah. And the bottom line is, you resent your mama. You hate your daddy. Can't stand them people. No, I'll talk to my mom. No, I'll talk to my dad. They did thus, that, and the other when I was little to me or to my siblings or whatever, so you don't like them. But the word of God says that you got to love. You got to honor this. So if your mother or your father needs a drink of water, regardless of what kind of parent they were, you got to give them a drink of water. You know, if your parent needs help, you got to help, whether you like them or not. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You can't say, I love God, and hate your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, hating your family, but loving God, then you're a hypocrite. You can do it. That's not my word, but that's God's word, that we got to love and honor our parents. Whether you like them or not, you still got to honor them. You shall not murder. All these folks running around killing each other in malls and in grocery stores and, oh, come on now, theaters and hospitals. Angel of death. Somebody takes it upon themselves to go and kill patients that are terminal. But they're not going to live anyway, so might as well just help them along. That's murder. And these young children who know no better, walking in their schools with guns and shooting up their classmates because they hurt their feelings. Or they bullied them. You don't shoot up and kill people. Word of God, you shall not murder. And I know that there are those that would say, well, you know, if you have an abortion, then you're murdering a child. Now again, you shall not murder. But I tell those folks too, you shall not hook a person up to an electric chair or lay them in the bed and infuse them with poison to kill them or electrocute them. Or some are even trying to bring back lynching or lynching them. Again, murder is murder. And if you're calling yourself a pro-life, you got to mean life from the womb to the grave. Come on now. Life is life. Advocate against the death penalty. Advocate against children being sent to prison for life when they barely know themselves. Advocate for public aid and SNAP, people that are in need. Advocate for children that are going hungry, that have been brought into this world with families that can't afford them. Advocate for the living just as much as you advocate for the fetus. We got to come on with it. Life is life, and murder is murder. You shall not commit adultery. God says you shall not commit adultery all through the Word of God, from the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. So I do believe that that is a very important commandment. You know, we want to talk about everything else, you know, every other kind of lifestyle, but we don't talk about the adulterer. The adulterer is probably more of a person that God is looking at than that homosexual and anybody else out there. We want to talk about the gays and the alphabet community. Well, we need to be looking at some selves. If you're committing adultery, you're just as bad as anybody else. So don't put yourself in your pulpit pedestal like you all that when you know that you're having an affair with Sister Susie. Come on now. God has given me a word this morning. And we need to stop and think and look at the whole big picture. It's not about one thing. It's about all things. Thou, you shall not commit adultery. Word of God, not mine. You shall not steal. You shall not steal anything. Not that piece of candy, not that grape, not that strawberry. Whatever it is, if you take it without permission, it is stealing. Watch what you do. Stealing is stealing. And that's including your time. You cannot steal God's time. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't be lying. Well, you know that I heard, that I saw. Well, you know, well, I don't know. I heard it, but I think I saw it too. You know, Sister Susie, you know who. Lipping and dipping. I'm just saying that's what I heard. And I know she was in Deacon's car. Not understanding, Deacon picked her up to take her to the emergency room because her child had been in a car accident. And that Deacon, and oh, you didn't know, his wife also was in the back seat of the car. Didn't know that. Too busy trying to look at somebody coming by, but didn't see everybody that was in the car. It concludes Sister Susie's grandbaby, who the deaconess was holding on to because she was crying because her mama had been in a car accident. You didn't see all that. All you saw was Sister Susie in the car with Deacon. That's it. You know, folks like to say what they heard, what they saw, and get stuff all twisted. So by the time that it gets around, the truth is not in it. We got to be careful of bearing false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house. His field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, anything that is your neighbor's. In other words, don't be looking at the Joneses talking about, girl, you know, Mr. Jones is fine. And I believe that is going to be my husband. I believe that. I believe that, you know, Pastor's going to be my husband because first ladies just don't know how to be a first lady, don't know how to treat people. Put her head up in the air, don't have talks to folks. She don't understand. I have been prophesied that I will marry a pastor, and I believe pastor is going to be my husband. Wrong, coveting, looking at somebody else's house and somebody else's stuff from the outside, but you don't know what's going on in the inside. You don't know what kind of abuse she might be getting. You don't know anything. All you know is what you see on the outside. Ooh, I want to be just like Kim Kardashian. Oh, girl. She got all of it. You know, I can sing like me. I'll be like Beyonce. I'm going to get my Jay-Z. You don't know what that person is going through as you are coveting what they have. You don't know who they are. We love to make assumptions about folks. We love to vilify folks. We love to try to step into somebody else's life. When I tell you this, you may not want what you think they got. You don't know how they got it, and you don't know what is going on. All you see is the outside. Be careful what you're coveting. Oh, I want to be American Idol like Fantasia. But guess what? J-Hood is the one with the EGOT, and she didn't win. God pushed her back to bring her up. She didn't win. And guess who has got the EGOT? The high, and it's only 18 people, period, in the world who have EGOT. She's got an Academy Award. She's got an Oscar. She's got a Grammy, and she has a Tony. We better understand Jennifer Hudson is the thing. And there are folks that's covering her life. But you don't know, again, what she's been through. You weren't there when her mother and her brother were murdered and her nephew found dead. Come on now. You don't know our pain. You don't know what she's been through. All you see is the outside and that she's got to eat, God. We better understand. Don't covet what somebody else has. Because when you covet the good, you got to covet the bad. And the bad may not be what you're ready for. So we need to back it up and watch what we're doing. To watch what we're saying. And it says that these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Moses, like, let me tell you, I didn't write these commandments. God did. And he wrote them on stone and he gave them to me to give to you to live by. And we live by these Ten Commandments today. These are not from way back in the time of Moses. These are today that we should be living by these Ten Commandments and the laws of the prophets. So it was as when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with men, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore. Then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and live? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which that you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson in all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus told us that was the first and great commandment, did he not? He told us that. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not build, homes out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And that is the truth. When you have everything you need, sometimes you forget to thank God that he has provided for you. But then when you look in that checking account and you got $20 and you got $200 of groceries and you don't get SNAP, you don't get, the aid for food. You don't get food stamps, not food stamps anymore. It's called something else, but I can't think of the word right now. You don't get that. All you get is what you make. And your bills came to a whole lot of money. And you say, Lord, I need. And God said, check this. I check that. Check your wallet. And in your wallet, you just happen to have everything you need. Don't tell me what God can't do. God will take care of you. He will provide. All you have to do is what? Believe. You know, God gave them water in the desert. Don't you think God will give you what you need in this season? He does. You know, when you're in lack, he's there. When you're in overflow, he's there. And sometimes you can be in overflow and need to get rid of some stuff. Because when you get rid of some stuff, you won't be in lack. Come on now. And then as we continue, it tells us, so what? So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build. Come on now. Houses full of all good things, which you did not build. Hone out wells, which you did not dig. Come on, I understand that as I live on a well that I did not dig and have some of the freshest, cleanest water than you could ever have. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oath in his name. Woo. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Come on now. God sent serpents. God did a whole bunch of stuff with Easter idols. All I got to say is remember, Kizzy, what happened to her? Got stuck with her arrow playing with God. Don't mess with God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in times to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. then it will be righteousness if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. We better understand where our blessings come from, where your gifts, your prosperity, whatever you have, who gave it to you? God did. There are those of us who have been free for less than 200 years. And God has blessed many of us to achieve some things. And we need to be grateful to God that he brought our ancestors out of slavery. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for the blessings that we have. We need to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because he didn't have to free us from slavery. He didn't have to get us out of bondage, that some of us can have the things that we have, and many of us have forgotten why we are here, how we got here, and how we need to tell God, thank you every day. Lord, thank you for getting my family out of slavery. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be an educated person. Lord, thank you for the home that I have, the food on my table, my children able to freely go to school, being able to vote. Understand, the vote is a privilege that you need to exercise every opportunity. God blessed us just like he blessed the children of Israel and brought them out of bondage. And just like the children of Israel, we have a tendency to forget our blessings. Thank God every day for the grace that he has shown us through his son, Jesus Christ. And as we go back to some life lessons from Deuteronomy 5 and 6, it says in verse 29 of chapter 5, that fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Here God states the desire of his own heart. He longs that a godly fear of him would prompt us to eagerly keep his commandments, so that he could bless us and our descendants forever. God gives us his commandments for our good. By keeping them, his people gain not only life, but a successful life and a long life. You better hear it. That is a gracious God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This statement begins a section that is called the Shema. Shema is Hebrew word for hear. The Jewish people would often pray Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 as a confirmation of their belief in God. It's a wise practice to rehearse what you believe, because then when times of trouble come, the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's truth and comfort you. Shema. Shema, Shema. Verse 5 of chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The first and greatest commandment that God has given us. Of all God's commandments, this is the central and most important one. When we love God first and foremost, obedience follows as a natural result and cease to be a chore, John 14, 15, and 1 John 5 and 3. And as we go into our proverb this morning, Proverbs chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, a Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There it is. You hear that word all the time. And we also know in Romans, he'll tell you whatever it is, God will do it. But he tells you right here, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. 37 Psalm verse 4. So now you know where that is. When we say trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O Father. O Lord our God, God is faithful all the time. Highlightable, verse 4 and 5. And when we get into the life lessons in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God calls us to do good to others so that they might see his goodness in us. Second great commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But unless we feed on his faithfulness, unless we stay in close fellowship with him, we won't have much good to offer anyone. We got to remember who we are and who we belong to. You are a child of God, and you belong to him, and he does not share his children with the enemy. We got to realize who we belong to and keep trusting in God. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You got to delight in the Lord. Get up in the morning, thanking God. Go to bed at night, thanking God. All during your day, thanking God that he gave you another day, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. Who are you with? I'm with him. I'm with the Lord. God are you on? I'm on the Lord's side. Not perfect, but I'm definitely trying to get better. And we got to have that in our spirit. I might not be perfect, but I'm trying to get better. We got to want to get better. We got to need to get better. It's got to be in every fiber of your being. I want to be better, Lord. I want to be better, God. Help me to get myself in order, God, so that I can serve you even more. Keep trusting God. Proverbs 12 and 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Remember that. He is of a perverse heart, will be despised. You think folks are getting away with something. Well, I don't understand how they could just follow after him. I don't know. I just don't get it. It's not your place to get it. Because believe me, those that think they are above God and above the law, eventually it will come to pass that they will get what they deserve. You just try to keep on moving. Pray for them. Don't vilify. Don't beat them when they're down. Pray for them. And give it all to God. And leave it right there at the altar where it belongs. And as you go into Luke chapter 1, verse 22, verse 21 through 38. And the people waited for Zechariah. And we're going back in time. Now we've had, where Jesus died. We've had where he's risen from the dead. And now we're in this new book of Luke. You know, we just finished Matthew and Mark. And now we're in Luke. And we're going to go back, because I didn't give this yesterday when we went into Luke. But I'll give it today. What are we going to find in the book of Luke? Not stated, but traditionally attributed to Luke, a Gentile physician. Colossians 4:14, and a missionary companion of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:11. He was like Paul's son. And it says it was written possibly about 70 to 80 years after Jesus' death, as the gospel was spreading throughout the Roman Empire. 10 words or less. Jesus is Savior of all people, whether Jew or Gentile. That's what you're going to find in Luke. The details, please. Luke's gospel is addressed to a man named Theophilus, Luke 1 and 3, we read that on yesterday, to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us about Jesus Christ. It's unclear who Theophilus was, though some believe he may have been a Roman official. And Luke's book is the least Jewish and most universal of the four gospels. Luke traces Jesus' genealogy beyond Abraham, the patriarch of the Jews, all the way back to Adam, the son of God, 3:38, common ancestors of everyone. Luke also shows Jesus' compassion for all people, Roman soldiers, 7, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Widows, chapter 7, 11 through 17. The sinful, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And chronically ill, verse 43 through 48. Lepers, chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. And many others, including a criminal condemned to die on the cross beside Jesus, chapter 23, verse 40 through 43. As with all the gospel, Luke shows Jesus' resurrection, adding detailed account of his appearances to two believers on the Emmaus road and the remaining 11 disciples. As the gospel ends, Jesus is ascending into heaven, setting the stage for a sequel of sorts, Luke's book of Acts. And then it goes on to tell us the quotables. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Chapter 12, verse 34. I say unto you that likewise you shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Chapter 15, verse 7. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. 17 and 33. And we all know that a time of tribulation is coming, and we will have to make some choices. Who do you side with? Are you on the Lord's side or are you not? Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Chapter 18, verse 17. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19 and 10. The unique and unusual about Luke. Luke is the only gospel to share Jesus' story parables of the Good Samaritan, chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, the prodigal son, chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, and the rich man and Lazarus, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke is also the only gospel to detail Jesus' actual birth in words, he spoke in childhood, both in chapter 2. So what? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've done. Jesus came to seek and to save. That is Luke. And let's get back to it. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 38, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, or Yeshua, or Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him Father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Can you say it with me? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She didn't walk in fear. She walked in faith that the angel of God was with her and telling her the truth. And when she conceived her son, she will know this on tomorrow. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I get excited when I think about the word of God and just how great God's word is and how much he loves us through and through to give us such a mighty word. And our today on this 22nd day of March, a word from our prayer book. Timmy, I am not saying that because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Hallelujah. Are you content today with whatever your circumstances are? Philippians 4:11, NIV, Holy One, you are the source of all life. Whatever I like can be found in you. You are the love I long for, the joy that makes my heart sing. Whatever my life looks like right now, whether my bank account is full or running low, or I am grieving or celebrating, it is in you that I find everything I need. When disappointment begins to creep in because I've been comparing my life to those around me who I think have been made, thou shalt not covet, in other words. Wash your grace over my mind, that I will see with eyes that are clear, not cloudy with comparison. I want to be able to echo the same sentiments as Paul did when he said that he learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know that your values are different from the world. And as I grow into more of who I am in you, your love settles the questions in my heart in every season. I have things I need for today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have everything that I need today. Let me be content with what I have. Hallelujah. Let me be content with what I have. You don't have to go after what everybody else is doing, what everybody else has. I want to be like Mike. No, I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Minister Bridget. I want to be like Pastor Bridget. I want to be like that woman of God who loves God. Let me be me. Let you be you. And let us all love the Most High, who is the source of our strength. Hallelujah. And it says, does your contentment change based on your circumstances? We need to be content in our good. We need to be content in our bad. And we need to learn how to be content in our ugly. We got to be content. Because whatever the situation, just know God is already working it out for your good. Tell God thank you this morning. Tell God I love you this morning. Tell God I appreciate your grace. Just say, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. And all God is asking of you is to keep his commandments and his statutes. And before we leave, you know how God is always in the midst of everything. Whew, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for Sister Carolyn. Sister Carolyn's word is right on point this morning. Good morning. God will give you his strength. Come on. In your struggle, have a wonderful Wednesday. We just heard the greatest commandment today, to love the Lord our God with all our strength and with all our, love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, with all our strength. And then realizing, who does our strength come from? Our strength comes from the Lord. Oh, Sister Carolyn, you don't even understand. Our strength comes from the Lord. Can you say it again? The Lord God Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And knowing that our strength comes from the Lord. That is my word for this morning. I thank God for increasing as I decrease, whoo, and letting his words come out of my mouth and not my own. I'm thankful today. And I ask God to watch over you, to bless you, to cover you from your going in to your coming out. I have to take my grandson to school, so I want to say thank you all. And then I also have to go to work. So thank you for joining me a little bit early this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. We'll be back to normal on tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Please join me, and I pray that you all have a blessed and wonderful day. And as we pray out our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray again over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And whatever it is you must do, keep God first. And remember, he is the source of this gift. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, on moving forward, a wrap. Have a great day.